escaped from it, doesn't say, it just says that the county was FEMA and it was occurred in 2016, so.
Regardless, sir, would you please state your name and your ABC number for us?
Jesse Jose, 180-890.
Okay, Mr. Jose, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. You have the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson, sir, and I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today. Also with us, representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Westby, sir. Mr. Jose, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Myself.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
And you?
Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms, condition, and the community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
All right, the first allegation on your warrant states that you in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 14, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated March, this is kind of wrong, March, okay, dated April 26, 2018 through May 14, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
Well, the speaker right here is not the best. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's kind of mumbled a little bit.
All right, well, let me go back over it again, okay?
Well, can you hear me briefly on it?
Can I what?
Can you tell it to me briefly, like I didn't show up or I dropped a dirty away or do you have to go word for word?
Okay, so I'll try to go briefly so that you understand, okay? What you said on allegation number one, sir, is that you failed to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on May 14th of 2018.
Probably.
Is that true or false, sir?
It's probably true.
Okay. And then your second allegation, sir, states that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 3, by your act of changing your place of residence at 2650 East McKellips, Unit 224, on or about May 11, 2018, without your prior approval of your assigned parole officer.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
All right, and then the third allegation states that, and this allegation also says that you are actively avoiding supervision. Is that true, sir?
Is that I was asked to what?
That once you change your address without the prior approval of your assigned parole.
Right, that's true.
Okay, that you are actively avoiding supervision.
Actively?
Yes.
Actively avoided supervision?
Yes.
I guess, yes.
Okay. Then your third allegation, sir, states that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report for a face-to-face contact visit on or about May 14, 2018 as verbally directed on May 11, 2018. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Basically, sir, says that on May 14th...
I didn't show up?
Yes, sir. Is that true or false?
Is that the fourth allegation?
That's the third. You only have three, sir.
I thought we already went through three, though.
No, we went through two. And
okay, yeah, it's true. I didn't do that.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, then, based on the admission of Mr. Jose, I am going to move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Dr. Reed.
Dr. Reed? Hello?
Yes, sir.
What happened?
The board just voted that you were in violation of the term and conditions of your community supervision. We're getting ready to go into phase two now, sir, during which time the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision.
Okay.
We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. But I'm going to go over some information with you, sir. Then we'll give you an opportunity to present any information you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
On April 20th, 2018, Mr. Jose was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on July 20th, 2018 by Tucson PD, known charges. He was back in U.S.C. custody on July 21st, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of December 27th, 2018, which reflects 67 abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, theft of means of transportation, 4 years. Prior convictions, 2003, flight from law vehicle, 1.5 years. 2004, misconduct involving weapons, 2.5 years. 2006, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2006, flight from law vehicle, 1.5 years. 2009, marijuana violation, 3.5 years. 2014, dangerous drug violation, 2.5 years. This is his fifth term in DOC, CUR score 4.4, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2004, TIS release, arrested on a new felony, misconduct with weapons, we have CCD in jail. 2006, TIS release of absconder, 10 days, arrested on a new felony, possession of dangerous drugs and paraphernalia, revoked by the BOEC. 2012, TIS release of absconder, 7 days, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are significant with drugs, alcohol, weapons, violence, and sex acts noted. Under arrest, 1996, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1998, marijuana violation, Arizona, juvenile probation. All other arrests since then, which were further mainly drug-related charges, were dismissed or not filed. His community risk score is a G5V6.
That sounds pretty bad.
Okay, Mr. Jose?
I can't really hear that well. I don't know if everybody else could, but I can hear literally, and I can comprehend above the eighth grade level and whatnot. I just, this speaker right here is kind of muffled. I'm just wondering what he did right now. Just he rattled off all my prior charges and all that.
Yes, sir. He informed the board of what your prior charges were and your commitment to the Department of Corrections, as well as the times that you were released on TIS community supervision on prior occasions, one in 04, 06, and 2012,
right,
when you were released, okay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right. So it looks like when you were released, you were to reside at 2650 East McKellips in Mesa?
Right.
Okay, and it says that you stayed there, you were living, was that where your ex-girlfriend lived at?
That was my wife.
Okay, you were staying there with your wife, and then you went to go stay with your ex-girlfriend?
Correct.
And that was at 7730 East Broadway in Tucson?
Yes.
And then subsequently, were you supposed to go back and stay with your ex-wife?
Right.
And what happened? You didn't go back and stay there? Well, why'd you leave your ex-girlfriends and not make it back to your ex-wives?
Are any of my ex-girlfriends or ex-wives around right now?
No, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Well, I got out with my wife. We tried to reconnect because it's my wife, you know, and she was doing well in life. Come to find out that she had relations with quite a few of my friends, and it gets more in detail, but I don't really want to get into that, and I couldn't I couldn't be around that. It hurt emotionally and whatnot. And so I told her I'm out of here, and I left back to Tucson, and then and that's what happened. I couldn't be around that at the moment. I wasn't emotionally mature enough to handle that type of situation.
Okay, so your parole officer said that if you wasn't able to stay with your wife, sir, that they were going to put you in a halfway house. Did you just not contact the parole officer anymore after that?
Well, what she told me to do was to go back to my wife.
Right.
That I needed to go back to my wife. And so I said, all right. And I called her. And like I said, there was an issue there with, you know, I realized I was in prison, and I've been in prison for quite a while and quite a few times. And I just, you know, I don't fault her for doing certain things, but like, you can go outside of my friend zone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of hurt, so I couldn't get over that. And my parole officer told me that she wanted me to go back and stay with my wife, whether it's on a couch or whatever, and I said, I can't do that. And getting a ride back and forth from Tucson to Mesa was a little difficult at the moment. So I made it there. I believe I went back and talked to my parole office, and then I said, you know, I can't. Why would you want me to come out to Mesa when I have a perfectly livable living arrangement right out here in Tucson? And at first they were going to just transfer it, and then they said that they couldn't do that, and then it was like a big fiasco, and then basically it boiled down to I needed to go live with my wife.
Okay.
And I wasn't willing to do that.
So where were you at for those 67 days, sir, that you was absconding?
I was at my girlfriend's house.
You was in Tucson, were you working?
I was doing odd jobs and surviving like that. I was planning on getting a job at this, I was working, yes.
All right. So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Some additional questions from the board. Mr. Jose, the board's coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion, sir?
Yeah, I would. I know that you guys don't parole a lot of people. In fact, I guess the guy that's running this thing right now said you guys paroled one person in the last month, which is not very good odds in my favor, and I can see on paper that it probably looks bad, and he rattled off my prior histories and my violations and all this and that. But if you look at that, the violations in the scounding and all that, you can see that I've come back with new charges almost every time because I was doing not good things. This time was a little bit different. I did abscond from parole because I was in a different area, but I was still abiding by the law, and I was working, but I have another thing going for me right now. When I was with my wife for those few days, I actually had gotten her pregnant, and so I don't know if you can see in any of my paperwork that I have no family left, no blood relatives, all of them died. That actually pulled my head out of my ass, and I'm no longer really about the bad lifestyle I'm living as a productive citizen for the most part, you know, like, except for that I was on the run for parole and stuff like that, but I wasn't committing any felonies or doing anything bad like that out there. So when they did run into me, I wasn't, you know, recharged with anything like usual. I was trying to save some money up so I could help out with the baby before I turned myself in and stuff like that. And I realized that, you know, it probably doesn't look the best, but if you guys could maybe like let me go to Sack Rat or something out here in Tucson where it's, you know, like a last chance type deal, I think that I would do quite well in that. I've been a troublemaker my whole life, and it's kind of the first time that I've actually been done with that lifestyle, and I don't know how to say it, but growing up, you know, I guess it's time to grow up, And I kind of would like the help of parole and DOC as far as like helping me reconnect with the community, because I've done so much time in prison, it's hard for me to go out and act like a normal person and deal with normal things that everyday people just deal with, you know, as opposed to in here where you fight about it. Out there, when you fight about it, you're coming back to prison. And I don't know, man, I would ask that you guys could make it maybe two people this month that get to try, so.
Okay, Mr. Jose, the board's going to go into discussion, so about a board of discussion. Mr. Rushford, did you have something?
I just want to say for the record, upon reviewing the chronos, I didn't see this information on the warrant, but when Mr. Jose reported to the office for his staffing with Senior Officer Poyser on May 11th of 2018 for his missed report date and also missed UA, that he was directed to provide a UA that day and asked if it would be clean, and he responded no and said that he had used the method about 2 days ago. That information was not in the morning.
All right. So, Mr. Zaydi, were you using meth while you were out there, sir?
I did use meth that day, and 2 days before I went to my parole, I thought that I could get high. I was doing some things, man. Finding out that my lady had slept with a lot of my best friends and stuff like that. Like I said, I need help dealing with day-to-day things that I don't know how to do that, and I dealt with it the way that I usually always had done it, and this was prior to finding out that my wife was pregnant with a child of mine. But, you know, like I said, I did use drugs 2 days prior to that, and I still made it to my parole officer hearing, so, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I know it's bad, but yes, I did do that.
All right, well, Mr. Jose, the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place. However, I need you to remain silent while we're in discussion, okay? We'll get back with you with the board's conclusion. You'll be able to hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. The board's not going into discussion. It sounds as though Mr. Jose is maybe at that point where he's trying to turn that corner and really do something for himself, and the fact that he now has his wife pregnant, he has no family left here, he has a child coming, that may be the one thing that may change Mr. Jose around, where he's not getting involved in some of the activities that he's actually been involved in. I think that Mr. Jose was absconded for 67 days before he had contact with Tucson police, and was arrested. He does have a prior of absconding, as he has done on this time. He did go to his PO's office on the last time. He'll be released in a few months on December 27th of 2018. At the time that he's actually released, he won't be on any parole or community supervision. I think if Mr. Jose is really serious, he'll take this time left that he has in Prentice prison, get involved in any program that he can get involved in, and work with his CO3 to get involved in any counseling that he may need once he's released, so that he can become a productive citizen and a good father once he's released from prison in December. That's my opinion. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Mm-hmm. Okay, therefore, I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Jose, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms, conditions of his supervision, and had lapses, about to lapse in the criminal ways of company, as he did relapse and use drugs, as well as he was absconded for 67 days. We have no idea for sure what he was doing during that period of time.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second, clock to right. Agreed, Mr. Neal. Mr. Jose?
Yes.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on December 27th of 2018, a few months from now. At that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision, sir. We do want to wish you the best of luck. Work with your CO3 there and see if there's any counseling that you can get into once you leave. And take any program while you're there so that when you're released, sir, hopefully you'll be a productive citizen, and the birth of your child may be the thing that turns around where you won't have any more negative contacts with law enforcement. So we want to congratulate you and wish you the best of luck.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm currently in lockdown right now, in the hole.
Yes, sir.
For going on 2 months straight now. So I'm pretty sure that they're not going to really, my CO3 can only do so much, and I can't take any classes because I'm locked down. But that's not your problem, I guess. The question that I have is it possible, because I know that when I got out of DOC last time, I went to my parole office, and there was like a little office on the side, inside the office, that was willing to help me find a job and do stuff like that. Are those type of things still, are they still available to me?
Yes, sir. There are several different programs that the Department of Correction has that are working to try to have the ex-felons get jobs, sir. But I think if you talk to the CO3 and work with them, they'll be able to provide that information for you, okay?
So no, basically, right?
No, I'm not saying no. I'm just saying that we don't have those, but if you would talk to your CO3, they should be able to assist you in trying to figure out some of the locations or places you could go for employment, sir.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank
have
you.
Have a good day, sir. Thank you. Put the CO3 back on the line.
All right.
We have next offender job fills that they have every quarter in both Pima and Maricopa County, and I believe they also have it in Pinal, too.
Okay.